Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 19 from Canto 3, Chapter 5. Madhura's talks with Maitreya.
Nai chat chitram tvayi kshattar Vadarayana viryaje Grihito nanya bhavena Yatvaya hadir ishraha Nai tach chitram tvayi kshattar Vadarayana viryaje Grihito nanya bhavena Yatvaya hadir ishraha.
Translation, O Vidura, it is not at all wonderful that you have so accepted the Lord without deviation of thought, for you were born from the semen of Vyasadeva. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The value of great parentage and noble birth is evaluated here in connection with the birth of Vidura. The culture of a human being begins when the father invested semen in the womb of the mother according to his status of work. A living entity is placed in a particular father's semen, and because Vidura was not an ordinary living entity, he was given the chance to be born from the semen of Vyasa. The birth of a human being is a great science, and therefore reformation of the act of impregnation according to the Vedic ritual is called Garbhadhana Sanskara. It's very important for generating good population. The problem is not to check the growth of the population, but to generate good population on the level of Vidura, Vyasa, and Maitreya. There is no need to check the growth of population if the children are born as human beings with all precautions regarding their birth. So-called birth control is not only vicious, but it's useless. Prabhupada's very strong. No compromise. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, first some background points and then the main point. So a background point is from the recent yatra, group of us went to Dwarka during the Kartik month, and I learned something about Krishna's pastimes that I hadn't understood, a lot of things that I hadn't understood previously, and I had a misconception. So I'd like to clear that misconception that I've spoken about a number of times, and that is the chronology of this event in relation to Krishna speaking Uddhava Gita. So the correction, rather than saying what I said before, was a misconception. The correction is Krishna was in Dwarka contemplating concluding his pastimes. So, of course, this is Leela. He is omniscient. He doesn't need to contemplate anything, but he was contemplating what to do and how to do it. He's in Dwarka, and the city of Dwarka, as you all know, the city of Dwarka was in the sea. There was a big wall, And then inside the wall, the city was constructed by Vishvakarma, and that's where Krishna's palace was. And to get to that Dwaraka in the sea, there was a bridge. And so Uddhava sensed that Krishna was going to depart, because he's intimately connected with Krishna. He knew his pulse. Then in Dwaraka, Uddhava approached Krishna, and by providential arrangement, Maitreya also happened to be on pilgrimage and visited Dwaraka, and it's in Dwaraka that Uddhava Gita was spoken. Then Uddhava Gita was finished. Uddhava then departed. And later in time, as Uddhava was heading, following the service and dictation, direction that was given by Krishna, there's other events, but he was heading towards the ashram of Nara Narayan in the Himalayas. And he just happened on pilgrimage, or that procedure of going, to be in Vrindavan. And that's where Vidura saw Krishna. Excuse me, saw Uddhava. And then he approached Uddhava, and that's the beginning part of this third canto, chapter 2 section. And so this discussion between between Uddhava and Vidura takes place there, forest in Vrindavan. Some significant time, passage of time and distance from where Uddhava Gita was spoken in Dwaraka. So that's chronology as I presently understand it. Another detail is a question was raised, so I had to do some research. What's the meaning of Vyasa's name Badarayana? And the research that I did came up with the following understanding. When Vyasadeva was born, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, because there's a Vyasa in the end of every Dwarpa Yuga, and Krishna appeared as the incarnation who appeared in this particular 28th Yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manu. Krishna himself appeared as the son of Parashara on an island, Dvipa. Therefore, Krishna Dvaipayana. And on that Dvipa, there was a Bhadra tree, and therefore he's called Bhadarayana. Just information, anecdotal, not critical to the message here. But Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, besides being an empowered personality, because every Dwarpa Yuga there's someone that occupies that post, and it's an empowered post. Someone has to be empowered to do that. And our Vyasa is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. And so Vidura was the son of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, or Badarayana, the Supreme Lord. And naturally so, as the son of the Supreme Lord, or Vyasadeva, he had exalted qualities. Now, we also know from first canto chapter 13, that Yamaraj was cursed. A little incident took place where a sage was to be put to death. And he complained to Yamaraj when he was relieved from that, because he was a great sage. Why? Well, when you were a small boy, you pierced an ant with straw. And so for piercing the ant with straw, you were to die by being pierced with swords on a chunga. And hearing that explanation, the sage said to Yamaraj, "Ha! Children are to be excused for such foolishness. They're not to be punished by death for something that a small child does in ignorance. So, not applying the proper principle of Dharma, I curse you. You take birth as a sudra." And Yamaraj was, "Yay, I get some relief from being Yamaraj for a while." And someone else can do that for a while I'm gone. And he's Yamaraj. Vidura is Yamaraj, an incarnation of Yamaraj. And as a great, so the text says, because Vidura was not an ordinary living entity, he was given the chance to be born from the semen of Vyasa. So his previous condition was Yamaraj, obviously. Great personality, one of the 12 Mahajans. How can one of the 12 Mahajans make such a boo-boo? Well, it's the Lord's plan, that he can then appear as Vidura and take part in Krishna's pastimes. Yay! Relief from Yamaraj and take part in Krishna's pastime, sign me up. So not only he was a great soul, but a great soul then has this special privilege. What's the special privilege? To take birth as the son of a great personality. And great personalities observe sangskaras. Say it conversely. If a person who was born in a Brahmana family does not observe sangskaras in the Brahmana community, they're not considered a Brahmana. Yes? So, I'll just a little anecdotal over here, but it comes to the point. Once upon a time, some, I don't know, 20 years ago, I was at the University of Texas in Austin, and distributing books from a book table, you know, just presenting Krishna consciousness. And a group of South Indian graduate students met and said, "Hey, would you like to come and speak about this knowledge to our..." We have a whole group of South Indian brahmanas. Sure. So in the car ride on the way to their program, they asked a friendly but a little challenging question. "Why is it we've heard that ISKCON teachings says that in this age of Kali, everyone is born lower than Sudra? All the people in this car are Brahmanas. Don't worry, we're not going to beat you up. We're Brahmanas. Because you say bad things about Brahmanas. But why do you say that?" So I said, "A Brahmana must observe sangskaras, otherwise they're not Brahmana, correct?" "Correct." "So what's the first of the sangskaras?" "We don't know." "It's Garbhadan sangskara." And I didn't have to say more than that. They said, "Oh." They looked at each other and said, "Nobody observes Garbhadan sangskara in our community." And that's why the Hare Krishna movement says what they say. But it's scriptural. That's why we say what we say. Because Brahmanas don't properly observe this. Now there would be, should be, qualified But the qualification includes performance of samskaras. Now, if it's a level playing field, so that was the next point. If it's nobody is doing it, then how are there going to be qualified brahmanas in the world? And the world needs qualified brahmanas, yes? That's, you know, you guys are born brahmana family. So, but you have to be qualified brahmanas, not just born brahmanas. So how do you get qualified brahmanas from people that aren't observing the samskaras that are obligatory for brahmanas? Well, the good news is, within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's provision for how to elevate society from the lower modes of nature and the lower quality to the higher quality. And that's what the Hare Krishna movement does. It takes that message of the Bhagavatam and brings it into life. And it's, you know, I quoted some verses from Canto 1, Chapter 2. Here's how it happens. And then one can become qualified. Even by birth, it wasn't samskara. Just as with all of you in the car with me and myself. So you need this as much as I need this, or the world needs this as much as any one of us needs this. That's our message. Take the unqualified and help them become qualified by the procedures that are particularly applicable. They're applicable for any age, but particularly applicable for the age of Kali. They looked at each other and said, "You're right." So if you're in such a situation like I just described, you know, not in a condescending or carrying a stick and hitting with the stick kind of a method, just as an explanation of why we do what we do. There's many other verses that explain the same thing, but it's very helpful. It's specific to the text here. So a qualified soul may have the privilege to be born of a father and, in this case, the mother's was a Shudra, but the son was of the quality of the father. His gotra was of the gotra of the mother, but his quality was the quality of the father. I mean, there's exceptions to all of this, like Prahlad Maharaj becoming the son of Hiranyakashipu. There's exceptions, but the rule is described here. Our system is a Panchadatrika system. What that means is there's two different systems. Within the Vedas, there's the Vaidika and the Panchadatrika system, and they're both under the umbrella of the Vedas. Our system is under the Panchadatrika system. Our rules for deity worship come from the Panchadatrika system. Our Gayatri initiation, second initiation, comes from the Vaidika system. I'm not so qualified to explain all this, but I heard Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, who is qualified to explain it. And uniquely, Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada have drawn from both. The Harinam Diksha is drawn from the Panchadatrika system. Many, 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 many verses, not only in the Bhagavatam, but all over the place, within the Vedas, is the special importance of the holy name. And not only even within the Vedas, but within other traditions, the special importance of the holy name. And the holy name qualifies one in very special ways. So many verses. Even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, if one takes shelter of offenseless chanting of the holy name, they're qualified to perform karmakanda rituals over here. You know, the smarter Brahmins will expire hearing that. They'll convulse. They can't hear that. But That's what the scriptures say. The prominence of the chanting of the holy name. Now, those who are chanters of the holy name, it doesn't mean we don't observe the sangskaras that are described over here. We're to observe the sangskaras. Our acharyas take, they guide us. What to take from here, what to take from there, and we follow. And they say, follow the sangskaras. So there are procedures, Vaishnava Tantra it's called, within Hari Bhakti Vilas, that says how to do the sangskaras. Now, supposing somebody doesn't do all the sangskaras, all of them, it's not like you're a failure or you can't advance in spiritual life. But there are procedures for them, and imperative again and again and again and again, and anybody that reads Prabhupada's books hears it again and again. This Garbhadhan Sangskara is not to be neglected for those who wish to become elevated and those who wish to create praja that are to fulfill the purpose of being a parent. And the purpose of being a parent is very clear. It's no easy task, and that's to deliver your dependent from the cycle of birth and death. So, my dear parents, that's your duty. I wish you luck. It's Kali Yuga, and it's not easy. And you know it, those of you that are parents. And those of you that are children of parents, you know it's not easy. But that's our assignment. That's our mandate of service, of being a parent. So you have to have the qualification. And to have the qualification, it really helps if prior to conception you observe Garbhadhan Sangskara, which means then a qualified soul takes shelter, and now you have even a greater responsibility, because here's a qualified soul that is meant to complete their spiritual path in this lifetime, and you have that custody of that responsibility to assist them. You can't interfere with the living entity's free will. There's a big free will factor involved in living entities going back to Godhead. But at least, to create the situation where that free will is given the maximum facility that you as parents can do. That's your assignment. It's Kali Yuga. It's not easy to provide that atmosphere. It's not easy to overcome our own imperfections, shortcomings, anarthas, and entanglements in the material energy. Nonetheless, that's the responsibility. Therefore, following the example of the Srimad Bhagavatam, really nice example, fantastic example, is when the sons of Prachini Bari were requested by their father to help create praja to assist him in his service as a prajapati or progenitor of good population. What did they do? They said, yes, sir. And then for 10,000 years, which was the equivalent of one-tenth of their life, which in our lifespan might be something like 10 years, before just running off and getting married and producing children, they wanted to qualify themselves. That was the yes sir next step, qualify myself. So one becomes married and then begins at some stage to contemplate, it would be nice to have children. And then what? Qualify yourself before the act of procreation. And then the Garbhadhan Sangskara. And then the likelihood of good praja. And then the service of parenting, which is such a joy. Nothing but fun. No austerities at all. Lots of regulation. And cleanliness and simplicity and no life complications. It's just so smooth parenting. being sarcastic. It's a big challenge, parenting. It's a big responsibility. It's animals can produce, birds can produce, fish can, they can do it better than we can do it to produce, you know, offspring. Not a big deal how to produce children. It's a big deal to train the children and qualify them to go back to Godhead. That's a big deal. That's human life. That's more than human. That's Vaishnava. And Prabhupada's strong statement is control of population is not required. Rather, producing good children is required. And there's a procedure for producing good children. The problem is people aren't interested in the procedure. They're interested in sense gratification, and that's what they get. They get the product of sense gratification, which brings exactly what Arjuna said will bring. When qualified people are not there and produce offspring, it brings turmoil to society. And then, you know, the managers of society have this big management problem of managing unqualified people, you know, putting it mildly, unqualified people. People that are polished animals. Or not so polished. And then trying to manage that. So the managers, the administrators of society would be very wise to promote not just control of the population, but elevation of the quality of the population. To do that, they need qualified brahmanas to guide society to do that. Training, it comes back to purpose number one. We just finished the ISKCON 50 year. You probably heard it many times. Because of being a speaker, I spoke about it, I don't know, 150 times. You know, the seven purposes of ISKCON, and the, you know, purpose number one is what we're speaking about. The values, conveying the values that are found within the Vedic literature amongst society in general. That's what ISKCON is, the first purpose of ISKCON. So how can we convey the values if we're not setting the standard ourselves? We say one thing and do another thing. People don't appreciate that. That's called duplicity. So we have to not just say, but we have to... Stronger is achar than prachar. Both are important. But stronger is achar than prachar. How are you going to get that achar? How are you going to get that buy-in from the membership of ISKCON if, well, that's nice for them, but I, you know, the saying in the Christian religion, maybe you haven't heard this one, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah, but... So, how to get the yeah, but into a yes. And that requires what the purpose of ISKCON is. It's training and education, where values are imparted. And so, I'm on my soapbox now, the rah-rah training and education message. We do some of it, but we don't do it adequately. We do some of it, but we don't do it adequately, because the whole of the Vedic process is establishing character through the relationship of a qualified person to those who wish to become qualified, and then you get qualified persons. Prabhupada explained, it's not that the whole world has to become Krishna conscious. That's not going to happen. But if some percentage At different times, he gave different percentages. A few percent of the population becomes truly Krishna conscious. The whole world can be uplifted. But how are we going to get that few percentage? We have to get, you know, a strong percentage of the persons that have said, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna follower. To actually be qualified, to get that, it requires training. Training and education, to me, doesn't just mean information. Like, you know, you took a Bhakti Shastri course and you passed. You got your Bhakti Shastri certificate. Yay! But inside doesn't match what the certificate says or what the text says. Real training and education, real education, Prabhupada's words, is character development. I'll get off my soapbox in a minute, but just excuse me. I can't help it. I was set up from the verse and purport. Real education is character development. Those of you that are parents, your duty is not just to make sure that your children get a good education so they can get a good job, so they can make a lot of money and live comfortably. And then job done. Nor is your job as parents just to make sure the behaviors of your children when you're around is nice. Which means when you're not around, they're experimenting. Because there's other stuff out there besides good behavior. The other kids are doing, so they may not do in your presence, or they may do in your presence and saying all the other kids are, but it's not just behavior modification, it's building of character. That's what parenting, and that's what education, and that's what the Hare Krishna movement is meant for. And we're doing something, and it's not adequate, in my estimation. And I'm not, you know, here, some appreciation. The Hyderabad temple has gotten recognition globally. I mean, you know, from our organization development committee, this is a global committee of GBCs and non-GBCs and a bunch of other people. This is an exemplary temple. The emphasis that's been given in ISKCON Hyderabad to scriptural training. Yay, you guys are good. And it's not sufficient. Don't be satisfied that you're doing something good. Because it's not just information that's needed. Of course, that's the beginning. It's, you know, fantastic. All credit to you all. Go further. Last thing on my soapbox and I'll move on. So, years ago, I've repeated this many, many times, but it was brought to my attention by persons who attended in Delhi some 10, 12 years ago, or whatever it was, before value education became a buzzword in education in India. There was a concern about education is not effective. So the keynote speaker, I wasn't there, but I was told by those that were there, said, education in India today can be summarized in five words. Information, 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 no transformation. And so came this wave of value education. And you all know all about it. And ISKCON got on the bandwagon of value education, and different places they do that. And it's, you know, an attempt to then give Krishna consciousness in a way that's not seen as religious or confrontational or something. Just value education. Everyone can buy into value education. But without a spiritual core, you're not going to get transformation. You may get a behavior, but not real value. And value doesn't depend on circumstance or the presence of the teacher or mother and father. It's one is out there in the energy, and because it's something inside, and there's a purpose of satisfying Krishna, the personality of Godhead, through the purpose of my life, my life is to be the instrument of Krishna's will, then circumstance contest this way, that way, and it doesn't move because it's inside. That's character. It's not built on circumstance. Ahoitukiya pratiyata yayatma supracedati, in the language of the Bhagavatam. Causelessly, it's not on this side there isn't something that causes it, on that side there's nothing that can prevent it. It says who you are. That's character. And that's the responsibility of ISKCON, it's responsibility of educators, it's responsibility of parents, it's responsibility of what our whole organization is meant to do. Not everybody's ready for that, but some people are ready for that. And if those that are ready for that are given the facility to do that, and those that can give it are, you know, they're supported and encouraged, and that's what they do. That's their qualified brahmanas giving to others character. That's ISKCON. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Big challenge, no doubt, being a parent. Big challenge. Being one that carries out this. Prabhupada saw it when he was on the Jaladuta, looking at this place that's filled with ignorance and passion. How are they going to understand the message of transcendence? Then he quotes these verses from the Bhagavatam. Here's how. And somehow, Krishna, you brought me here, mission impossible. If you like, please empower my speaking so that mission impossible becomes possible. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. And then in his diary, let me try. Same for us. We're meant to be instruments of that will of Krishna. And we have different situations of life. Some are young boys that like to play. Like this young boy. And some are, you know, at certain stage of their education, primary education, secondary education, college education. And we have different stations of life. The principle doesn't change. Become instruments of Krishna's will. We're not there yet, but that's the goal. And become that. And we need association and those that can give that capacity to us. That's what our society is meant. So therefore we have a sangha of devotees in different positions, different mindsets, different backgrounds, different cultures, different languages. The diversity is practically without limit. Still, the mission doesn't change. The principles to fulfill that mission doesn't change. So last point is, in the beginning parts of this chapter, Vidura, approaching Maitreya, has first honored Maitreya, that was in the previous chapter, and now he's presented, after honoring him, he's presenting inquiries meant for the upliftment and welfare of all. Because he's already super qualified, Vidura. He's Yamaraj. But he's asking these questions for the benefit of everyone. So now we're hearing in these verses Maitreya similarly speaking to Vidura. Wow, Vidura, you're qualified. Before he gives the answers, he doesn't like run quickly to give the answers. It's the relationship of the hearer to the speaker and the speaker to the hearer. Wow, Vidura, you have this qualification that you always think of Krishna. How did that become possible? Well, here's one. You're the son of Vyasadeva. So naturally you have this quality. Before that, you were Yamaraj, so naturally you have this quality. Still, you're asking me questions, so let's go. And I'll give responses to your questions. So then it's like Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. No, the one prior to that. Katayantas chamam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. What do great souls do when they get together? They do what Maitreya and Vidura are doing. It doesn't really matter who's the speaker, who's the audience. In this case, Maitreya has just heard the entire message of Uddhava Gita. I think I said something wrong at the very beginning. No. Vidura meets Maitreya. Excuse me. Vidura meets Uddhava, and then at the end of that dialogue between Uddhava, excuse me, and Vidura, Uddhava sends Vidura to go see Maitreya, saying, Before Krishna departed, he said to Maitreya, very soon you'll meet Vidura, and Vidura will come, and you please explain everything that you've heard to Vidura. When Vidura heard that from Vidura felt, wow, Krishna thought of me. Just before he departed from this world, he thought of me. How fortunate. And he also felt very sad, because now Krishna's gone. I'm not going to get his association again in this lifetime. So the sadness of separation and the ecstasy of feeling intimately connected with Krishna. So then Maitreya went to a distant place. Uddhava sent Vidura to go find him. He went that way. Go find him. He found him. And now he's at Maitreya's, literally at Maitreya's feet, wanting to hear from him. And Maitreya's appreciating, wow, you're qualified. The same thing happens, you know, between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, or Shonaka and Suta Goswami. There's appreciation from both sides, the speaker and the hearer. And there's benefit for both sides, both the speaking and the hearing. That's our Bhagavad Dharma. It's such a nice process. Prabhupada says it's like ice cream. Whatever side of the ice cream you lick, it's sweet. Any comments, questions? Yes. Here's the microphone. Over here.
Hare Krishna. So Maharaj, this is regarding one of the points initially you mentioned about Pancharatrika system and
Vedika. Speak slowly, please.
About Pancharatrika system.
Yes.
And Vedika system.
Vedika system.
So what is the reference for Pancharatrika? Is it some?
It's in the Vedas. There's a section of the Vedas. The Pancharatrika section of the Vedas. It's within the Vedas. There's a chart showing what the Vedas made up of, and one of the sections is the Pancharatrika section of the Vedas. Vedic. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
You asked a question yesterday. So did he.
Maharaj, you explained the duties of a parent.
Duties of a parent.
Yes. So may I know what are the duties of a son? Because at least parents have
duties of a son.
Parents have some command over children, but children don't have. And how your personal experience goes as a son.
I didn't hear the what are the duties of the son? Say the other part again.
Because at least parents have some command over children. But
the parents are what?
Command. Control, yeah.
Control. Parents control the child.
Yeah, but
the child cannot control the parent. Yeah. The parent controls the child. So what's a good child to do, right? When the parents don't have that superlative qualification.
How your personal experience goes as a son.
Okay. So the question is, as a son, my parent doesn't have the qualification to deliver me from birth and death. But I now understand from the Vedic culture that's what I'm supposed to do. Go beyond the cycle of birth and death and become self-realized and so forth. But my parents don't have the qualification to take me there. What's the son supposed to do in that scenario? That's your question? Well, here's what I did. Certain things I received from my mother and father, and they have been a great asset in my life. Largely, the asset of monotheism, a life where God is to be respected and worshipped and prayed to and so forth. You know exactly how that's done. You know, it wasn't so good, but at least in principle. And that's helped me. And certain moralities and values. And that's carried me in my life. It's protected me from all kinds of things. And so I respect that. And my parents, they're now deceased, but they know that I respect that. I said it in my actions and my words. And my actions also showed that based upon what I've received, I now have the opportunity to go further and apply those values even more effectively. I was very purposefully very careful not to convey to them or allow them to perceive that I was feeling you didn't do it right. And I reject your way of life and I'm taking up another way of life because you didn't do it right. I knew that if they felt that, they would feel really hurt and disrespected. So I was careful to not do that. But I went forward anyway, you know, respecting what I did receive and going further with it, based on the guidance from Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. They looked upon what I was doing as our son has always been very idealistic, and there he goes, being idealistic. That's his nature. And we're proud of him. I mean, it didn't start there, but, you know, it started with, yeah, he'll get over it. Then when he didn't get over it, we have to find out what this thing is that he's into. And they did that, and they thought, okay, well, at least it's genuine, traditional. It's not, you know, something to worry about. It's wholesome and genuine and substantial. Then the third position was, it makes you happy. We can see it makes you happy. That makes us happy. You know, the subtext is, we'd really like to see you make us happy. And what would make us happy is, you complete your education, become a doctor, get married, have children. We have grandchildren. That would really make us happy. They didn't say it, but I knew it was like, that's the subtext. But this makes you happy, and we're happy that it makes you happy. And then the final stage was, we're proud of you. You have your convictions, you've always been idealistic, and you're living according to your values and your ideals. We're proud of you. Our son, the priest. I didn't have to, you know, take the position of coaxing them or coaching them along the way to these different stages. They just processed. That's my parents. Different parents are different. Definitely different. So you know your parents, but you have to, from your position, there is the dharma of the son to the parent, and that includes respect. But how you manifest that respect has to be subordinated to the final instruction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. You know the verse? Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami ma suchaha. I know some young people, their parents say bad things. And don't do this. Or other, you know, the different versions. Be religious, but don't be fanatic. You can go to the temple, that's nice. But, you know, don't be a fanatic. And etc. There's different versions. But that verse trumps that other principle. That's a principle, it's a dharmic principle, respect your parents. And higher than that is, whatever it takes to get to the position of full surrender to Krishna, you do that. That's a stronger principle than the other principle. So as a son of parents, depending upon their disposition and regard for you, and so, you know, etc., respectfully, you take shelter of Krishna. Don't be disrespectful. Be careful that they don't feel you're being disrespectful. And take full shelter of Krishna, according, you know, appropriate for your psychophysical nature, whatever that is. The duty of the son. The mission of, and by so doing, you don't have to tell your parents, but you should know according to scripture. You will deliver 10 generations before and after you. Just by that act. That's something that's been in my heart. In relation to my siblings, in relation to my parents. This is the best possible service I can do for my parents. Become Krishna conscious. Become pure in bhakti unto Krishna. Best service I can do. They may understand, they may not understand, they may think it's cute, they may think it's, you know, whatever they may think. It's the best service I can do. Duty of the son. Deliver my parents. Not thinking I'm big, they're small, I'm going to deliver them. Just by Krishna's mercy, his mercy results in their deliverance. And their deliverance means that they then get the opportunity themselves to engage in devotional service in various ways. And that's Krishna's department, not mine. My department is become fixed in full submission and devotion to Krishna, with the resources that Krishna has kindly supplied. That's my duty as a son. Yes. Microphone back here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My name is Vamshuli Das. I'm planning to enter Grihastha Ashram. And in today's lecture there was some talk about the qualifications of the father and the qualifications of the mother in terms of Varna. And I was wondering what you thought about that particular aspect.
Less important than the qualification of Varna is the qualification of Bhakti. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. Back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. During Dwarka Yatra, we heard that Lord Krishna spoke to Uddhava twice. And when was the...
No, I didn't say... Did I say that? Krishna spoke to Uddhava in Dwarka. Uddhava left. Uddhava then spoke to Vidura and sent Vidura to go speak to Maitreya. So when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, it was once in Dwarka, and Maitreya was in the audience. Maitreya heard everything that that Uddhava heard. But first, Vidura saw Uddhava, and then Uddhava sent him to go see Maitreya. Is that clear?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
I have second question.
There
are many sanskaras as a father to be followed for the child.
Yes.
And due to the Kali Yugas and the circumstances, may not be able to follow because knowledge, situation.
Yes.
So
available brahmanas, yes, who know the procedure and so forth. So many obstacles. So
how to do that?
Bhakti is the ballast. Bhakti will lift you up. Same as this question over here. It doesn't mean I'm cavalier, I'm casual and, you know, I don't need this and that. But essential is bhakti. And our primary attention goes there. And it's not, you know, there's family considerations sometimes that family members want you to do the Vaidika sangskara or ritual. And we may want to do the Vaishnava sangskara or ritual. And you have to consider the circumstance of family to decide whether it's this or that. But, you know, you can do both. Because over there, who's the qualified Brahma that can do the Vaidic ritual? It takes a lot of qualification to do it properly. And then the Panchatrika system brings the qualification to the Brahmana, whatever the, you know, the ritual procedure is. It's the holy name and the shelter and the faith of the holy name that brings the qualification to the priest to do the Panchatrika ritual. And there's degrees of elaboration on those rituals. It can be really, really simple. Prabhupada made the Garbhadan Sangskara really, really simple. Chant the holy name. Okay? Someone else. I saw another hand up back there. Okay, there's some hand up here.
Hare Krishna.
You're good.
Oh, Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for a wonderful class. Maharaj, you have been emphasizing...
A little louder, volume. your voice, not the machine. Your voice.
Maharaj, you have been emphasizing on culture of values and education and training.
You noticed.
So, it becomes a little difficult to maintain those values when we go out and perform our occupational duties.
That's correct. You're challenged all the time. So what?
So how to take that association, like how to...
When you take up a life of devotion, there are different metaphors. It's like swimming upstream in a river that's rapidly moving downstream. Have you had the experience? I've had the experience. You're swimming very, very strongly in a current that's moving faster than you're swimming, and you're going downstream. It's not easy to swim upstream when the river is moving swiftly downstream. Anyway, there's other examples. The good news is Krishna will protect you, and that's the faith of someone that takes shelter of Krishna. It's one of the six limbs of surrender. Krishna is my protector. Krishna will protect me. So don't make an overestimation of yourself and what I can do. I'm going to, you know, mama maya duratyaya, struggle with the material nature. Rather, what I'm going to do is Mameva ye prapadyante, maya metam tarantite. I'm going to place my faith in Krishna will carry me to the other side of that struggle. And you know, some of the battles, this is another metaphor, Prabhupada's metaphor, when you take up a life of devotion, you're declaring war on maya. And maya is a formidable army. It's not, I declare war on maya and it's a smooth ride. So the good news is Krishna will protect you from maya. It's a matter of faith, and you do the best you can according to your capacity and your strength, knowing that when Krishna sees your however many days in a row you get a score on the positive side and three scores on the negative side, I continue to try. In an atmosphere, Prabhupada's words, that's surcharged with opposition. That's the reality. I recognize the reality, it's within the question. And therefore, I take shelter of Krishna because that's my protection. I'm going to continue to strive to act in such a way that Krishna is pleased. That's who I am. That's my life. In some days, it's going to go this way, that way. Doesn't change my conviction. Doesn't change my commitment. I am weak. I'm not sufficiently strong to resist all that negative opposition. Therefore, more than the next person, I have to take deeper shelter of Krishna. Krishna, please protect me. I want to stay faithful at your feet, loyal to you. That's my loyalty in this world that's surcharged with opposition. And you begin your day with strong practice of sadhana bhakti, and then you leave your home and you go into that current moving swiftly downstream, depending upon Krishna for his protection. And you do it every day and every day and every day and every day and every day. And you stay like that, and something happens. You get stronger. It's not your strength, it's spiritual strength from Krishna. Then you go, wow, I got this realization. Don't become complacent when that happens, because what will happen if you become complacent is so you continue in this mood of humility, taking shelter of Krishna, depending upon Krishna for the strength to carry out what's your assignment, Mission Impossible. But Krishna can make Mission Impossible possible. That's what Chaitanya Charitamrita says explicitly. One who has implicit faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a blind man can see the stars in the sky, a lame man can climb a great mountain. You get a problem with your legs and you can't even walk across the floor, what to speak of upstairs, what to speak of climb a mountain. A layman can climb a mountain, and a fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas. Implicit faith. That's the price. That's what you got to pay. And then you get something. Special mercy. And it carries you beyond your own limitations. And then you go, wow, Krishna is really great. That's our life. Life of devotion to Krishna. One more question on the men's side. Whoops, two more. Any ladies, I'm going to call on you. It's already 9:27.
Dandavat Pranam Maharaj. I have two questions, if you permit me. One question is, Maharaj, education in spiritual life is very important.
Yes.
There is no doubt about it, and I was very happy to hear the recognition that this temple has.
Yes.
For building that base.
Yes.
Devotee care is also very important.
Yes.
Because
it's
world
part of it's a subset of the dedication, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. Because world outside is looking for love.
Yes.
You know, if I say that, come, I'll teach you Bhagavad Gita, first they'll say, why do I come to you? Because
yeah.
you should have some relationship with me, which is based on trust and love.
Yeah.
How do we balance both?
There's no balance. It's just a subset. Devotee care. Could you just move a little bit so there's... Thank you. Devotee care is a subset of the value of being a devotee of Krishna. Let's do this. This short answer, then you go to your next question because of time. There's 26 qualities of a devotee listed in Nectar Devotion. One of those 26 is Swarup Lakshana. The other is Tatastha Lakshana, marginal. It follows the one. And the one is Krishna Eka Sharana. And the other 25 follow that one. So do the one, get that in place, not just, you know, when it suits you or circumstantial, but as a principle that is in your heart, that value then flows to all other things that are valuable, including devotee care. So it's not a matter of balance, it's a matter of get the sufficient training and education to take care of what the mission of life is, and the others will... It doesn't mean we don't pay... We pay attention to devotee care, but we see it as a subset of the one. And that's what training and education will have as a result, in my opinion. Go ahead, next.
Second question is, Maharaj, earlier where I used to stay, I used to get a lot of Sangha of devotees. Yeah, earlier where I used to stay, I was very used to seeing, I used to stay in Boston and in America, and there I saw you many times, and I saw so many Maharajas coming, such a vibrance. I'm missing this year. How frequently can you come?
I'll ask Krishna. Next question.
Maran?
Yeah. He's always smiling, isn't he? We should have more devotees like you. Can you expand yourself? And you lead such nice kids, like too.
As a parent, he has to bring his children, upbring his children to make them Krishna consciousness. It is a great challenge in present societies.
Yes.
So, and you gave the example of Srila Prabhupada, like, you know, when he was in Jaladutta, he saw the situation in Boston Harbor.
Yes.
That how it is, you know, people are absorbing passion and ignorance.
Yes.
And then he was praying to Lord.
Yes.
That, you know, please make
keep it
down.
Short. Keep it short. Your
so,
question is?
Yeah, my question is like that, you know, to become a good parent, you know, how one should proceed in this, in that direction, sir?
Depending upon Krishna is how. That's, you know, Prabhupada had children.
A different time, you know, he has to go, he has to deal with his children, and make them Krishna consciousness, you know, how he should prepare.
Can we just use a different verb than make them Krishna conscious? Because you can't make somebody Krishna conscious. You can create an atmosphere where they are encouraged and nurtured and facilitated for making the choice of becoming Krishna conscious. So just changing the language a little bit. You don't mind, do you? Okay. We use that phrase and I'm a little uncomfortable with it. So, I'll give it an answer in the following way. It's a little Prabhupada said. So, I shared this with somebody the other day. Morning walk conversation. Prabhupada was doing what he would sometimes do on morning walks, often would do on morning walks, saying, the goal of life is this, and the material scientists, they're atheists, and, you know, they're leaving God out of the picture. They say this, and they say that, and Prabhupada was defeating it. And then the devotees said at some point, and Srila Prabhupada, single-handedly, you're taking on the challenge of confronting, and you're so effective in. Because there was examples of a scientist that, having read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, an Indian scientist said, I never had faith in God, although I read many copies of Bhagavad Gita, but this Bhagavad Gita is so clear, my faith in God has been restored. Just from reading Bhaktivedanta's Bhagavad Gita. So someone volunteered that a scientist had said like that. And then a devotee said, and Prabhupada, you're doing this all over the world single-handedly. Prabhupada's reply, single-handed or double-handed? Know that Krishna is behind. So there's the answer to your question. Parenting in the age of Kali is major challenge. Take it from the other side. Being a child, in this present age is a major challenge, no small challenge. How will it be successful? What should a parent do? Count, rely on Krishna, exactly as Prabhupada said in his Jaladuta arrival. Krishna, if you so desire, you make my effort successful. I'll simply try. So we're the instrument, and Krishna is the will behind the instrument. He wields the instrument. Let me become a submissive instrument in the hand of Krishna, and then Krishna's will can be done. That's my responsibility as a parent or a servant of any kind, just being the instrument of Krishna, any kind, at any stage, in any field of activity. Just be the instrument of Krishna's will. So that means being transparent. And transparent means becoming free from all the stuff that's in our heart, especially our dear friend false ego. Thinking ourselves as the doer of Krishna's will, when we're not. We're the instrument of Krishna's will. It's very different than the doer of Krishna's will. Like, I'm going to make my child Krishna conscious, or else I'll break him. Make it or break it. Okay, I'm going to end. I wanted to ask the ladies, but it's late, so I'm going to stop. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.